Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is December 15th. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing all right. The Packers are driving. It's the third quarter. We're still doing this. And
it's not Wednesday, December 15th.
Kyle Porter's still here.
You want to get a 2-for-1 deal? Go to normalsport.com, buy your book.
Do we know? Can we confirm what the promo code, what it's based off of in Sabatini's career?
I have no idea. I don't.
22 made cuts.
Yeah. So my kids used to think when I would go to a major that I was just on the plane the whole time. This is kind of the podcast version of this. I've just been on my microphone for the last 3 days, just waiting to talk about the PGA. Yeah. Go to normalsport.com. People by now have hopefully heard about the book. You can enter SGS.
We need your publicist. You got a good publicist over there. I hope they've heard about it now. You've been everywhere. You've gotten some good run, I hope.
Yeah, by the time people hear this, I think I've been on, well, hopefully, I don't want to jinx it, but I've been on Golf Channel. I've been a couple episodes with you guys. No Laying Up.
There we go.
It's been awesome.
Fantastic.
So yeah, SGS at checkout, 22% off, automatically entered into a drawing to win a $200 gift card to the Shotgun Start merch store, pro shop, whatever you guys call it.
It's a good holiday read.
Yeah.
Good, I don't know, year-end read, good kind of table setter for the next season, right? It kind of reminds you why you want to follow this, I would say, going into 2022.
Reminds you why you watch golf.
Yeah, right. It reminds you of like why you want to be enthused about Kapalua, Sony, things like that.
I pulled out the most ridiculous, fun, intriguing stuff. Most of it is, I mean, honestly, like this podcast was a inspiration in terms of the irreverence of it. I think I mentioned that off the top of the book. Golf is ridiculous and fun. And one of my buddies described it, Rick Gaiman, he described it as like a 60,000 word group chat between friends just talking about golf. And I wish I had used those words to describe it at the beginning, but I feel like that's a kind of a good description of it. So yeah, anormalsport.com. Check it out. Let's talk about KH Lee's win at the Craig T. Nelson Ranch.
TPC Craig T. Nelson Ranch.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. Part 7.
Yeah.
PrecisionProGolf.com. If you need a Christmas gift, you're late in the game. NX9 Slope, Shotgun 20. That's our promo code. You get $20 off. You want an ace speaker? I would recommend the speaker. Hey, look. This is what they do. This is what they make. It's not this massive freaking company that's just churning out gizmos to grab a piece of the market over here and there. I mean, they are dedicated to this.
They gave us the least amount of notes of anybody that they ads with because they know we'll just figure it out. But listen, I'm short on notes.
It's a lot of faith. So go to precisionprogolf.com. If you need a Christmas gift or you just want a rangefinder, you want to gift yourself, you want to get, you know, warmed up, New Year's resolution. I want to buy myself a rangefinder. Maybe that's your New Year's resolution. Go to precisionprogolf.com, put in shotgun 20, and you'll get $20 off. All right, let's get to the TPC correct. I'm going to get myself. I'm going to start using a rangefinder in the new year. That's where you do it. All right.
All right. The Craig T. Nelson Ranch. All right. DJWD.
You can't have much on this.
No, there's not a lot. The story of the week is not Craig T. Nelson Ranch. Do you know what the story of the week is?
Super League stuff or what?
The NCAA Women's Regional Championship at LSU.
God.
Okay. This just envelops the sport, greater sports world.
People are screaming.
It's all around the term championship level.
Oh.
So
they deem the course not a champ. Okay. All right.
After the university club, the host venue took more than 7 inches of rain over multiple days, the tournament was canceled on Wednesday without a shot being hit. The top seeded 6 teams and 3 individuals were sent to the NCAA Women's Golf Championships. Brad Hurlbut, the NCAA committee representative for the event, stood on the university stairs to make an announcement and said, "Even though the course is playable, it's not playable at a championship level." So everybody's like, "What the fuck does that mean? What does that mean?" And
there was conspiracy theories, right, about LSU like trying to make it not make it playable so they could just advance and stuff.
Yeah. So there were some par fours that would have needed to be changed into par threes, but a par 67 or so could have been concocted for the tournament. This is what the reports on the ground were saying. Beth Ann Nichols talked with Tulsa coach Annie Young, who said, "It hasn't rained all day. This is Wednesday afternoon. We could easily be through 9 holes right now, maybe more. An 18-hole qualifier would not have been ideal, but even one round is better than none. It's even in an event. It's even in the event manual that if 54 holes of qualifying cannot be completed, 36 hole scores should be used, then 18 hole scores." So this is just a disaster, and they're saying, oh, they can't play there. The NCAA made some stupid rule that they all had to be done by Monday. These places are like, we'll host it. You can come play here. TPC Louisiana being one of them, saying, hey, come here. We'll host it. And they canceled it. It was a horrible, horrible, horrible moment.
That's right.
And then, like, a couple became weeks a later...
meme. That guy on the steps became a meme. I kind of like that one. That was a good meme.
Yeah. It was a disaster. So, anyways...
Okay.
Craig T. Ranch, WD for DJ. Everybody's talking about how the course is right out in front of you pre-week. Right there in front of you. After round one, guess where 67th... got you. A 67.
What were they at? Like 2 under? 3 under?
67. What did 67
get you? Oh, it was a 67.
So 5 under 67.
40th place.
It was like T27.
Oh, my God.
Just complete pushover.
Pillow.
Yeah, pillow. Jordan Spieth shot 63. Kyle Porter tweet. Who's here? Maybe he should read. He chunked a chip, nearly bladed a tee shot on a par 3, hit one out of the woods from 247 yards to 9 feet, made 9 threes, shot 63. He also, this week, told everyone he had COVID. One big pre-tournament event was Jason Day said that unless he qualifies for the U.S. Open over his next couple starts, he will not attempt sectional qualifying because he has a very important NetJets sponsor outing to attend instead.
I forgot.
And that was an Adam Shupak report.
I forgot about that. He had a NetJets outing on Monday sectionals. Oh, golf's longest day.
This was incredible.
Became a big deal. Are the Bears holding on? You keep looking at the TV.
No,
we're still watching the Bears game.
All right. Yeah,
it's not going good.
On Wednesday, we're still watching it.
Matt Wolf, WD, now that the Bears are down, down 8. Matt Wolf, WD from the PGA. I wonder how they got the ball back. We found out this week that the Bears and the Browns were going to play during the Ryder Cup week. We were cursing Roger Goodell. Conspiracy theory. Bryson in the first round said he left 6 shots out there.
Craig Durant?
Six shots? 6.
Okay.
That's an absurd number.
Yep.
Rom's like hitting a putt during the week, and Shaggy Kang is like kind of like in his periphery, like working on his putting stroke.
Oh,
yeah.
And then he like stands up and like starts walking when he's like hitting the putt. It just was an awful, you know, kind of thing. It was a big Saudi golf league week, just lots of rumors and stuff. Husky Boy shoots 4 rounds of 67 or better. You wrote your media shuttle piece about Tila, about the puttering and billowing. Some people wonder if that one shuttle ever showed up.
Still out there. Still out there. Puttering and billowing along the door. Forgot about that.
And then, let's see. We also learned that nobody beats Dick Bland 478 times in a row. He wins what in event his 470 Betfred British Masters.
British Masters.
That's so right. This started off a Bland summer.
Dick Bland summer. Didn't they move? Wasn't the weather terrible in Dallas? They moved it up because the Husky Boy got them
preferred
late.
Lies.
They got to like 15 and the deluge came, right? And they were trying to race in, beat the storm or something. Anticipated preferred lies. Craig T. Nelson.
all right. And golf.com still stealing photos this week.
Kyle, did you go to that?
No.
Craig Ranch this year?
No. It was at the weekend before before a major, and I want to do as little as possible.
Did I miss anything?
Charl used the putter that looks like a manufacturing error where the shaft is on like the backside of the head.
Yep.
He went back to that this week. And then you mentioned it, but they were squeegeeing greens while players were standing on them.
That's right.
It was outrageous.
They were playing and it was just rivers was running crazy through the greens.
And then the last thing was the Husky Boy did his interview in English, which was kind of awesome. And this is where, non shotgun start listeners, first learned that his two goals are to become the number one golfer in the world, and the second goal is to become the number one sexiest golfer in the world. I think Shotgun Start listeners already knew that, but the rest of the world just discovered that this week.
Yep. Hey, can I add an addendum to Monday's episode, the end of the Wells Fargo that I forgot? We ignored the region's tradition. Alex Chayka wins as an alternate, gets in him and wins.
Great major run.
It wins the major, but it butted in on Walker Cup coverage and people lost their mind. It's region's tradition. Chayka wins. And also, that week, it might have been the week at Craig T. Nelson Ranch. I don't know. The legend of Frugal Fratelli really takes off. So we'd heard about it because he didn't wear sunscreens because he didn't want to pay for sunscreen. We heard that from European Tour correspondents that he was the cheapest guy out there. But this is when he shares his Instagram, because he's made millions playing golf, and he shares an Instagram furious about a $1.95 PPE charge for the food workers, service workers who, made him his burrito and have to wear masks, and they built in the charge, and he gets really angry about this, that they pay, he had to pay a $1.95 surcharge on his bill for protective equipment for the food service workers. And the Frugalites are born. Frugal Fratelli takes off. All right. Let's get on to it. The second major of the year, the PGA Championship. Quickly,
still
is this the
not
event
prepared.
Of the year for you guys? Is this
I'm still what? Not prepared?
Is this the event of the year for you guys? Would this the best event of the year? I know it's all subjective. What would you
say? I think so.
Well, you did the book, Kyle. What was it in your estimation of your book research?
Yeah, it was. Because, and the reason why is because the first 2 days were really good, because that's not true of all majors. The first 2 days were really good, but then the weekend was almost like another tournament unto itself because of the way it played out. And so it was the most surreal. And I think it was, I love the Open just because of the Lynx golf and the way it plays and all that stuff. But I think this has to be it.
I think it was. I think I did all the research. It wasn't like super tight down the stretch.
No.
Right? I mean, Phil did his best to make it a little, but it wasn't around the year because, you know, something crazy happened at 18. But just so much happened over the weekend. And of course, you have the overarching storyline of Phil winning. And honestly, like, Keough was so good. It was great.
Keough was so good.
It was great leaderboard, different kind of golf. It was good.
You had guys that matter historically. Sometimes you get stuff like this, and it's like, oh, Phil beat Adam Shank, you know, by three. And you're like, okay, what does that mean? But first time with, what, two guys with four more majors and the final pairing on a Sunday in like 40 years. Like, there was like real weight to the, not just the tournament, but the people that were in it, which I think is important.
Yep. This is, let's get to it. This is the first time Andy and I did live recording in almost 2 years. We got back on the road, freshly vaccinated, mask mandates going off. We're on it was great.
Riding bikes around Kiowa.
Yeah, biking around Kiowa. That was a week to, that was a great, great week. Hopefully we'll get back out there again this next year. It's the birth of the short Andy meme. I inadvertently took a picture, I guess, from high ground, and you're pointing at a bunker. And
the rope just looks like it's as tall as me.
And people just have a field day. One person replied, like, it's good to see Jimmy Carter get out and enjoy the sun. This is right after Jimmy Carter showed up in that photo looking like a miniature person next to, I don't know, Biden or somebody. I think he was a meme of the week. Anyways, there are no bunkers. They announced there are no bunkers on the course. Everything's, you know, play around in the sand if you want. This creates a Patrick Reed sort of skepticism about, you know, people applaud it, though, right? You could get bad lies. You could, you know, it's not going to be perfect. You know, PGA announces that earlier in the week. You're very worried about the snake impacts. You think snakes are going to be nipping at, you know, patrons.
Surprise, they didn't.
Spectators. Yeah. Bones, I forgot about this. Bones caddied for Homa. You know, two of our colleagues, media moguls, Jim Bones McKay and Max Homa.
Could have been a thirst bucket play.
Bryson, you know, was on it as usual. He talks about seeing UFOs in his backyard during a SiriusXM radio interview. He's, you know, he says he saw flying saucers or some shit in his backyard in Dallas. He also talks about time traveling. He thinks, you know, that the equipment is just going to continue to, and the game is going to continue to be pushed forward because there's going to be, you know, using time travelers that are able to come back with technology we've never seen. It's definitely a possibility, he said. There's a Tony Stark individual, he said that. Was a phrase that came out of his mouth. He also talked about the laminar flow of the wind, which tickled Andy. You know, he's on tilt. He's like, wind is the one thing he really can't account for. So he's like, if I could figure out the wind, he's tried to study the laminar flow. Do you remember him on the range? Yes.
He was just on the range, sitting on the range, like ripping drivers as hard as he can straight into the wind and watching them like fly straight up in the air. I'll never forget that. Just
incredulous. Yep. Did I capture the Bryson nuttiness, Kyle? Would you say the UFO was the big one?
Yeah, and then he wore that shirt that had like dumbbells and F equals MA equations on it, which is just out of control.
Speaking of Spieth, during practice round, wore that shirt with a giant X across the back, which I think was like an Under Armour, like
it's like an anniversary
or something. And people were freaking out, like, is this going to be part of his scripting for the week? I mean, a giant X across his back of his shirt was horrendous. What else? Sonny Skinner, have nothing on him, just he was involved. He's like a 50-something-year-old club pro, wore a giant bucket hat. And so he was a kind of a lot of content pre-lead up to the championship for that. Patty had his quote on innocence versus experience. Patrick Harrington, that would become sort of a theme and a quote we leaned on throughout the year in various situations. As you gain experience, you lose innocence. Experience is not everything it's cracked up to be. Suppose if you drew a graph, there's a crossing point of equilibrium where you have some experience and a certain amount of innocence and enthusiasm. As you get a little bit older, you get all this experience. On paper, people might think you get better. with experience. But as I said, you've seen a few things you know in your game you probably never wanted to see. So you kind of lose that bit of, I suppose, innocence. And I don't know. I thought that tied in well with the winner we saw. And Patty, by the way.
Yeah, he top five.
Finished T4. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, again, speaks to the kind of Kiowa. It brought, like, a ton of different styles and allowed for the possibility of you know, different players winning, which you don't see at PGAs all that often. Bethpage and Harding Park and places like that. Anything else in the lead-up that I missed that was a big deal?
Wesley threw a bomb on Olympic sports. He said that they didn't get the format, the qualification, or the, one other thing right. I remember he said, like, they got everything wrong.
Seth Waugh comes out and says, if you commit to the Super League, you'll be banned from the Ryder Cup and the PGA Championship. This, of course, I mean, Phil then, you know, who's the sort of leading the cavalry on it, goes on to win his championship. So I think you had a tweet like, can the defending champ be banned from the PGA? I think Kyle had a tweet like that. What else?
Seth Waugh also was like praising disruption. He's like, this is kind of the world that I inhabit, that I lived in, I guess in, right. Was it in banking for a long time?
Yeah. Yeah. Deutsche Bank and things like that.
Billy Batons showed up with a full beard looking like Matthew Wolf's older brother.
That's right.
Which was hilarious.
That's right.
DJ doesn't know what kind of putter he uses. No surprises.
He goes, it's silver. He goes, it's a TaylorMade and it's silver. He goes, well, what's the model? He's like, I don't know. It's silver.
David Duval said that he had never been more unsure of what we were getting on a Thursday from a course, the weather, the field. He said that on Wednesday night. I remember that Wednesday night's live from was just electric. Brando called Brooks fragile on that Wednesday night. And then Brooks, you know, shoots 69 and T2 after round one. But there was like a real, I think part of it was because Spieth had rebounded, Rory had just won. There was like a real palpable, we don't know what we're getting buzz on that like Wednesday going into that event. And we had even less of an idea what we actually got than what we thought. But I just remember that Wednesday night being like, I was super pumped for that Thursday to unfold.
It all had, like, it was just perfect weather. It was never too hot. The wind came, right? There was one
early week
kind of
wind.
Calm day. Yeah, it just sort of all came together perfectly for the PGA. And I don't know, being there, I just wonder, Andy and I, like, I wonder if we're, like, kind of biased because we were there, you know, and we were having, like, a blast and running around in the dunes and had so much fun with it that we, like, overrated. I don't know that it's, I think it's hard to probably overrate it. So that's why I wanted your perspective, Kyle, watching from home. I just think a lot happened. You probably saw more than we did, you know, in terms of, like, the weird kind of inanity things that happened.
Yeah. But no, it was so fun. And I thought ESPN did such a good job of that. The Van Pelt Duval duo.
Yeah.
Of just tons of golf and just, you know, talking about it like we all do. You know, I think that's such a, that's a skill that Bacon has, that those guys have. And the whole thing just, it just worked. And Kiowa probably played a huge part of that. But the whole week was awesome from start to finish.
Okay. All right. Should we get into, and Andy, you were like, jazz about the course. There were a ton of tweets. You were, I mean, you had some qualms about mowing lines and things like that, but like you were just fired up about it.
Well, yeah,
everybody's talking about mid irons. That was the thing too. Everybody's quoting about, there was like every quote was like, I have to hit mid irons. I can't believe how many mid irons I have to hit.
Especially with the way the wind was early in the week, because it switched around.
Sunday
switch. Yeah, like one of my favorite things was just, I sat on the 17th tee for like half of Thursday and just watch guys hit like two irons and three irons on dead into the like a 25 mile an hour wind. It was just insane, and watching guys flight irons, and it was so cool.
I think you also got up close with Billy Boy that round. Like, he came to that tee. I remember you're like, I mean, He's just ridiculous. He's a ridiculous character, ridiculous human being. I think we got up close. Because I think he followed through. He let go with the club on 17. And the club went flying into the turf when it went, you know, he flung it. So might have got a good picture of that. All right, let's get into Thursday. Opening round. John Daly leads. I don't know why this was something. He led early. I think he birdied one and then shot like an 86. So there was like, you know, everybody had to get off their daily, you know, content. Your leader, John Daly, the PGA Championship. Brooks, this was a big one. I think the big early feature group was Brooks, JT, and Rory. Yeah. Brooks,
oh,
I
Rory think was with a awful. Double. God.
Rory bombed one into the marsh.
Ran out there to watch them go off, and it was ugly.
And Brooks opened with a double bogey, I think, right?
So they played the first hole in 11 strokes combined. And
the two of them,
not the three of them, Rory and Brooks. And that was the hole where when Rory's like trying to figure out his drop and Brooks is hitting while he's dropping
in the background
and he bangs one into the hill. Like he just
duffs it.
I mean, it was
side, right.
It was like the whole sequence was like, well, neither of these guys is contending. And then one of them almost won. And that was Brooks had on the hat that looked like a quilt.
Yes, the patchwork hat.
KVV said
that was so bad.
I've got the KVV quote here. It says, it looks like a letter sent to the police demanding a ransom where each section is cut from a different hat and pasted together so it's untraceable.
That's so bad. That's a great tweet. It was so bad. I saw it several times during research. I did not get that tweet. That's good. Bryson had the equations on his shirt, like you said. This was, I think, the dawn of Sunglasses Ricky.
Yep.
Maybe the start of Sunglasses Ricky, which I think was an activation of some sort as well, but said it was also prescription. And people were making jokes about how he looks like a, you know, detective or something, an investigator. He had on, of course, the usual garish attire, but the sunglasses was a new thing. Andy, this is a very nothing to do with the tournament. On Thursday, you're talking to the cops on the driving range about biker gang enrollment procedures. This is a big thing. This is our reporting from the ground on Thursday. You were asking South Carolina's finest about how biker gangs come to be. I think they looked at you like maybe they ought to haul you off.
They weren't having it. They said they weren't. They kind of were like, son, you're going down the wrong road if you're wondering this stuff.
Shane Lowry hit one on the beach, right? He was deep onto the beach, and this was like a total circus. I think he got a good drop out of it, if I'm not mistaken. People were kind of mad about the drop that he got. This was a big day for the Coetzee zone. I think George Coetzee started like 3 under through his first 8 or 9, and we were fired up about George Coetzee. That investment came home. Merrick Fax. Hashtag Merrick Facts, an entire thread that Andy started came to life as the low club pro. He would eventually be the low club pro.
The real low club pro, not Ben Cook.
Ben Cook. So Merrick, you're just tweeting about how you got in his Uber once. He was driving an Uber. He won, you know, whatever. He something Nebraska amateur or whatever.
Well, he lost to Pepe Peter in the Nebraska Open.
You are giving the world more Merrick facts than they could ever want to know, and it's great. This is like real good stuff, added value. And then everybody came in, swooped in, and wrote their own Merrick stories as he moved up.
Well, he had that ridiculous stretching routine.
Well, that came Friday morning. Yeah, he went viral with the stretching routine. But you'd already been on the board with your Merrick facts by the time that came in. John Catlin gets a slow play penalty.
Yeah,
you never see that ever, and let alone a major. He gets popped. He was warned in the 16th hole. And
think about how slow Phil was playing the final round. Yeah, Catlin. They were like 2 holes behind.
Yep. Bryson says it's the most difficult course I've ever played on tour, is what he calls the Ocean Course. I think a lot of that had to do with the wind. This is also the day the bank shot at 18 becomes a big deal, becomes a thing. Like, people are freaking out. You know, it becomes just its own story, grandstanding. So, you got the beach and junk all right and marsh. and they put these grandstands pretty close, just off the 18th fairway, and guys start pelting them into that grand. I think Xander hit one in like the trash can. Keegan Bradley like comes out and says it. It's like a huge deal. You just get a drop in a matted down area. You should just start pelting them off the grandstand. I don't think it became a big deal come Sunday, but it was for sure a play there early in the week, right? You know that, Kyle? That was Thursday,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it was.
What else do you have? Anything else on Thursday or topic-wise you want to hit?
Well, Thursday was the day that I tweeted that Ricky looked like an undercover investigator into a Mickelson cryptocurrency enterprise.
And didn't Phil respond?
He responded and said it's not that complex. I said it's a complex cryptocurrency enterprise, and he said it's not that complex.
And then he won the PGA.
And then he won the PGA. I said,
you had another good tweet that I found that said, Michael, it's Spieth looking into a rangefinder with his Under Armour hat that had a big X on it. And it's, Michael, I finally found a way out worse than mine. And it's Koepka.
Koepka's patchwork.
The best,
that was so bad.
The best Brooks thing was when Bassi Munoz hit the ball in the trash can on 18. And he was looking in there, and I think it was Solly said he's looking for Koepka's hat. I think that's it for Thursday. I compared Brooks to Eddie Taubensy, and then Eddie Taubensy's wife responded on Twitter, which was just an insane series of events.
Because he was doing the leg out thing.
Yeah, he looked like he was...
I mean, he's in the final pairing on Sunday. He's got his leg out, like he's catching...
He looked like he was setting up for like a slider away, and this is how he's reading butts at a major championship. Thursday was... It was just so, that event was just so fun, and it got more fun as the week went on, which doesn't always happen.
Yep. Friday, the Merrick warm-up goes viral. I think it was the Jamie Weir on Sky Sports got it first, and then it just becomes a thing for the entire week. You know, ESPN has to get in on it. Everybody gets in on it, and he's out there in the middle of the range just gesticulating to and fro, throwing his hands about, and it becomes a big thing. A lot of people call him Big Randy, things like that. It just it goes viral. Brad Merrick. All right, what else? Oh, Andy gets Friday night. You get that Hovland shot, one of your great non-course photos, not non-course category. Where Hovland's up the stairs, and we're walking in with Damon Lynch, and he says it's the loneliness and opulence.
Yeah, that was a great golf quote.
In that, you know, a little understated hotel they got there on Kiowa.
Your favorite spot, Cam? The Sanctuary. We had like a absurdly expensive pre-tournament dinner at the Sanctuary.
We had, that was not kind to the expense account.
The Bixby Bucks got drained that week.
Yeah, like $15, you know, just crazy. All right. This was the day Cam Tringali goes 10-7-5, right, on 16, 17, 18. Is that accurate? 10-7-5,
that's right.
Shoots 46, I want to say.
48.
48-34?
Yeah.
Was that right?
Yeah.
48-34. He was with that Rada, Patrick Rada, and another pro, and they all shot like 82, 82, 86, I want to say. He like single-handedly swung the cut line, if I'm not mistaken. He made a 10 on 16. What else you got?
This is the first moment where Kevin Streelman wearing his glasses on the back of his hat just made me so irrationally angry.
This is an Andy favorite. This is an Andy regular. He's been on that beat for
Welcome to the resistance.
It's just, it's infuriating. EVR murdered a tee marker.
Yeah, 17. Just, yeah. And that was when Gareth Lord wouldn't shake his hand, right?
Yeah.
Something just happened, Andy?
Oh, no. Nothing's happening. The Bears offense is puttering and billowing, which is, you know, what we expect. It was abnormal.
Yeah, I forgot about Gareth.
Hey, what about Gareth Bryson? Lord. Bryson called it a stupid course on Friday.
Yep. I got a whole stupid, yeah. Well, another Bryson thing. This is where he's on complete tilt. I guess he didn't yell four. He found like this cluster of fans, didn't yell four, and people got on him about that. He called it a stupid golf course after, I want to say he flubbed a chip, well, maybe on 18.
It was 18, yeah.
But that was after 16. I mean, he hit it miles, I want to say, left into the high heather. And he kept talking about how he hit a great drive.
Yeah.
Hit a great drive. I hit a great drive. Well, how is this here? How is the ball here? I hit a great drive. I think this was the precursor to him mumbling and stomping along in his spikes right behind Brooksy. I think that was the thing. He was upset. You know, the video that becomes this great meme the next week, right, when it gets released, and Brooks is like, I can't handle it. I think that was it.
Yeah, I do too.
He was sort of incredulous about how he hit this great drive on 16 that ended up in the junk and calls it a stupid golf course. I think that was the setting before that video went viral. What else you got? Anything else on Friday? We can move on.
Yeah, Phil
like packs it up early wave,
70-69. You called it a contract year because this was the point where he was like kind of in it with the Saudis or whatever. I don't know what
contract year.
What it was, but I thought that was
for the Matt Flynn
contract. Yeah, the contract year was really good.
I should say, like, being on the ground that week, there was like a weird sort of tenseness about that, right, Andy? Like, we know these guys are meeting with the Saudis somewhere. It's a contained island, right? But like what villa? Like, these guys are here and they're all meeting about it. And there's like the game within the game. It was just like it added sort of this element of uncertainty and tension to the whole week, knowing that that was going on the island. So. All right. Sorry, I cut you off.
Well, my last thing on that is Phil and Louie were in the final pairing on Saturday, on Friday night, going into Saturday. And I think that Phil's name just kind of obscured how ridiculous that was. He had done nothing
right
at majors he shot the 64 at Quail Hollow and that was it for like 18 months. That was it. And he was like 112th in the world with guys like Richie Wierenski and Tom Hoagie. And I mean, like his name just obscured how outrageous it was that he was leading the PGA Championship, which people that tune in four times a year, are like, oh yeah, Phil, oh, this is great. And it was like, no, this is, this should not be happening. And yet it is. And it continued to all weekend.
This was, I got this from the Fried Egg newsletter. Subscribe to the Fried Egg newsletter. You get this kind of updates and insight as you, in real time. So in his 17 starts before it, he had zero top 20s, seven missed cuts, and seven finishes of T44 or worse. He entered the week 176th in strokes gained T to green, 176th, and he led the field in SG T to green by the end of the week. 170, like, there's just like, I mean, I think Tiger in the Masters in 19, we had seen him like contend in the majors the season prior, right? At Carnoustie, like we'd seen him win. We'd seen him like play well. His health was a concern. Like Phil just didn't have it. You expected him to shoot 78 one day, right? You just didn't expect him to hold on. Nothing foretold
this. No.
So, all right. Saturday, we're on the weekend.
On the weekend.
I have more Bryson. Super sketchy drop on four. It's a totally new lie, right? Hits it into the shit behind the, but there was like a cable or something running through like in front of the weeds and the high heather. And he gets a drop into like a fresh, like, I don't know, fringe lie. But I think he missed the birdie putt, right?
Yeah.
People were shouting ball, don't lie.
Yeah. The Rasheed Wallace gif.
That's right. The drone gets in the way of play.
Oh, yeah. Phil's yelling at it.
Allegedly. On four or five.
Four,
one of those.
Four.
Yeah, four.
He radios in. He's like, he tells him, like, can you get the drone out of here? And Dottie goes, like, there's absolutely no way he could touch. Dottie's like the walking reporter. And no chance.
He was saying he was going to hit it. It was in his shot.
So ridiculous.
I think I was out there when he came through there.
Yeah. Will Knight said a great tweet. So Phil, I think, went out in 32.
Yeah.
And Will Knight said, this guy got outplayed by Peyton Manning less than a year ago. And he has a four-shot lead at the PGA. Well, that, four-shot lead at the PGA.
That was the thing. It was like, I mean, you said it earlier, but it kept feeling like, okay, he's going to, he had, and part of this is because of what happened at Quail Hollow. He goes 64, 75, 76, 76. And you're like, okay, one of that round or those couple of rounds is coming. And then it kept going the other way where you're like, wait a second. Like, why is he building his, like, the only thing I didn't expect going into Saturday was for him to build on his lead. And that was exactly what happened early. And then I feel like at the turn, it kind of became, well, I have it written down as at, he made a birdie at 10. And that was the moment where I was like, whatever happens the rest of the way, the story's Phil. And I didn't expect that to be the case that early on Saturday.
Yeah, because I mean, he had the four shot lead. He bogeyed 12. Didn't he like make a double on 13? Complete duck hook out into the marsh. Duck hook for him out in the marsh. Lefty double. I think he was what? He ended up with just a shot over Koepka, right? Yeah. After going out in that 32, being up four,
and it felt like that was a big, like, not having a bigger lead was like a big deal.
Yeah, you know? A big deal. Saturday night, we're pondering what if Saturday night on the island, we're pondering the big questions, not what a Phil win would mean for his career, but what a Kevin Streelman win could mean for the Wilson, the beleaguered tour truck of the Wilson. It's a little trailer that we saw go puttering and billowing out of the grounds earlier at the Ocean Course. It's just a trailer hooked on the back of an F-150. So the Streelman, I mean, that was like the story nobody wanted to write or follow or have happened.
He didn't have a top 25 in like 20 major championship appearances. And here he is like in contention.
You're incredulous. Top 25, not a top 10. That was. And he was in the penultimate group with Louis, King Louis. So that's it for Saturday. I don't have much else. You got anything else you want to add, Kyle?
No, it was just, that was a really fun day. I remember that day very fondly. Yeah. It was, I mean, you got the blimp shot of him hooking that ball into the water on 13, and you could almost see Phil like wanting to just go up there and drop, but he ended up, he didn't know what to do really. And he ended up kind of erring on the side of teeing it back up. He hit a ball under a cart tire on 16.
Oh, yeah. That's the famous photo, where he's in the dunes.
Yeah, I think it's the front of Alan Shipnuck's book, isn't it? That photo? Yeah.
I was right there. I was in the scrum. The Golf Hawk got one. I'm in the photo. Yeah, that was right on 16.
Yeah, so that was that day was just, I couldn't believe that felt like a major, that felt like a Sunday at a major, and it was just a Saturday, and we got to do it all over again on Sunday.
Yep. Sunday, the wind flips, which we're very excited about because we kind of had it from the same direction of varying strengths for
Saturday
the one
was
week.
Saturday no
the
wind.
Very, yeah, almost no wind. Sunday, the wind completely flips directions. Ricky gets into the Masters. Big ups to Rick. This is a minor undercard here, stories. Drained some putt on, I think, 18.
I thought he missed it to get in.
Is that wrong? I thought he got in the Masters.
I don't think so.
Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. We get fed the story of Emiliano Grillo launching his club into the marsh on way out there, like 5 or 6.
And the kid.
Yeah. He tells his caddy to go in and get it. And there's like a snake starts hissing at him. And the caddy jumps back up onto the golf course. And then like later, some kid volunteer goes out and gets it. It's just, yeah. So Grillo took some PR hits based on our sources. Phil, I mean, like, the range, Andy and I were out there. It's just like a complete circus on the range. He's got the alignment sticks. He's got his coach. He's got the flight tracer, TrackMan, Foresight, whatever he uses. He's got a club that breaks. He's, like, freaking out. Tim runs off to the locker room to get, I don't know what it was. Like, maybe it was his driving, you know, his soft driver or whatever it was, a 2-iron, 2-wood. I can't remember what it was. But he had to run to the locker room. Andy's incredulous and doesn't think he'll get to the first tee on time because he's like working through it with Getson. And it's like a 5 to 7 minute shuttle ride. And he's just grinding. There's like no chance. This is given the way he finished Saturday and like the scene on the range, like this isn't going to go well. And of course, he goes from one up to one down on the first hole. Porter tweeted, it feels over.
It felt over.
Like Koepka's just going to bleed him out, right? Because he went from one up to one down.
You had the great tweet about the old man in the sea when he was on the range. That was was tremendous. But, you know, I think the second hole was instructive because it was the par five and Koepka made a seven?
I think he doubled because he went from... Yeah, it went back to one up. Phil one up,
Koepka played the par fives on the front nine in like 13 strokes, and that was the tournament. That was the event there. They did. I should note they rolled out the Wanamaker on the first tee to where lefties hitting a drive there could easily see it, and I joke that like. It's a good thing there wasn't a lefty involved that had, you know, previously touched a trophy, like tried to kiss a trophy before he teed off to go win it, like Phil did at the Troon Open.
Yeah. I found this Rory just completely daggers Phil. They're asking him like, what was your earliest memory of watching Phil in a professional tournament? And Rory's just trying to get out of town. He goes, I can't remember because I was probably so focused on Tiger. Just complete like takes a dump on Phil. I don't know if he loves Phil, but what else happens? So we have the front nine adventures. The big one I forgot about, the holes out from sand on five.
Yeah.
Holes out for birdie. People start losing their mind. Like,
that was insane.
This is Phil. The whole front nine was kind of such a roller coaster. And then like Brooksy went along for the ride. In a way he wouldn't normally, you know, usually just kind of bleed you to death, but he was making sevens and sixes and then a birdie. And it was just sort of a Phil type deal. Patty on the setup said it was the best setup he's ever seen at a major championship. He wasn't even asked about it. He went out of his way. He goes, I have to say it's probably the best major setup I've ever seen. It may have been equaled in the past, but it couldn't have been better. Golf courses are fantastic. Opportunities to make bogeys and birdies, you know. So he's like, I'd love to play this style of golf every week, and it would be a bit more competitive than playing a regular tour event. It's hard. It's a lot easier, these majors, is what he said.
Yeah.
Maybe for someone like him to keep up. So,
Speaking of Patty, I'm going to butcher this, but somehow... Two golfers were in the final pairing and each had four or more majors coming into the week. And three golfers finished in the top five who had three or more majors coming into the week. And none of those people were Spieth or Rory.
Who was it? I mean, Phil Brooks.
Patty.
And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you had Louis with like 18 billion top fives, right? What else do we have from Sunday? Strelman and Usti fighting for third place, game within the game. We had a lot of fun with that, but it ended up being, I think Ustazen, did he finish solo?
T2 with Brooks.
T2? Okay. All right. What else happened with Phil? Oh, he changed his putting grips on 17, right? 16 or 17? He changed his putting grips.
It was 17.
Like, people lost their mind about that.
17 for bogey.
I can't believe what I just watched.
Yeah.
He's got like...
To propel the ball over a ball mark, right?
Like against
out
the
of
grain
an indentation.
Or something like that. Yeah.
That's
what it was.
He told a rules official on 10. Somebody like touched his ball on 10 or something.
Yeah, they picked it up. Yeah.
And he told the rules official, he said, he started the sentence, I'm under the understanding that, and then whatever he went on to say, which I joked was like something that would imagine he's started many, many sentences with.
Yep, I'm under the understanding. Right.
I Vince Carter'd him on 13 and he hit one in the water on his very next shot, which just zero doubt there. He started just hitting just massive drives on the back nine.
Oh my God. 16
was a monster. Like, I remember
he
that.
Just started unloading on everything.
15 and, was huge too.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And then 18 was just chaos. I mean, just total chaos.
Andy walks into the camera shot. Just meanders his way up, you know, walks out of the crowd, walks into the camera shot, nearly bumps into Phil, just not paying attention out of to his surroundings. Yeah, then you kind of scurry back, dive back into the masses to get out of the way. We had this photo of you looking out.
Send me that.
I got this photo of you looking out in the ocean on one of those dunes. I said, you're pondering about walking in the ocean instead of having to defend Ernie Island that night with the potential for Phil's win. What else? So Phil wins. Koepka has the comments that he got swallowed up. He's pissy about the crowd control. He goes, it would have been cool if I didn't have a knee injury and got dinged a few times in the knee in that crowd because no one gave a shit, personally. But if I was fine, yeah, it would have been cool. So I guess he wasn't thrilled with the fans swarming around him. Phil wins. He does his old trophy. He tweets that night that he's half lit from the air in his airplane. You know, I'm half lit, enjoying myself, drinking wine. What else? Rom was there in a dad shirt or dad bod t-shirt, doing interviews, looking just thick, quite thick on the green, the putting green. What else? You have anything else on Sunday? I don't want to do the hole by hole, but I mean, go ahead.
I thought Phil was kind of subdued. You know, afterward, it was almost like he was still not allowing himself to, because all week he kind of said, I'm not allowing myself to think about it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. And even after he won, it was almost like he was still saying that or still like thinking that. There was a great tweet from this guy named, I don't know his actual name, Net Double Bogey on Twitter, who took a picture of Phil handing Koepka his scorecard and said, the caption was, here's that autograph you wanted during our round.
Oh, man. Come on.
Which was awesome.
Taking shots at Koepka. Four-time major winner. Just treated like a club girl all day out there.
Phil, after this, had this was his 24th top three finish at a major. And Tiger has 26.
Man. Interesting. Do you think he has another one, Phil?
No. I think that was my big takeaway. Part of the shtick of like doing this book, Normal Sport, is we never look. I mean, you guys do it on this podcast, but so rarely when we write do we look backward that far. It's all like in the moment. Like, here's what this means a day after. And to me, like looking back on Phil's PGA, it made it even crazier that when I was writing it in November than it was in May. And I thought it was insane in May.
Insane.
But to look back in November and think, I mean, listen, like when Phil starts,
he didn't do anything.
Whenever he starts his, wherever he plays his first event in 2022, he will have gone his only top 10 in the last 500 days. I presume he'll play, I guess he'll play Kapalua if he wants to, but his only top 10 in the last 500 days, whenever he starts, will be the PGA. And it was a major, and it was a major win, and that is just that's crazy. Like it is surreal, and so it was fun to kind of contextualize that at the end of the year.
Last one, Apple slow plays the release of our Monday recap episode. Andy's mad, and I theorize it's because we've been jamming Ben Cook, and that his relative Tim Cook is trying to jam us back. And delays are just gets the wire screwed up. Andy unleashed on Ben Cook this week. I mean, was making fun of the guys writing the PGA Journal, PGA of America Journal. It's like, he's a fraud. You shouldn't be writing articles about him. Dropping expletives because he's a tour pro. Yeah, he's on Latino America.
People are like, he's up in Michigan teaching at whatever that course is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's up there.
Anyways, we think there's vengeance from Tim Cook gets back and jams up our episode. Phil's win. Kind of doesn't get out till like late Monday. All right, that does it. I think that does it for the PGA part 7 or whatever this is of the year in review. Again, we're just trying to get through December. We'll combine them into one big thing maybe at the end. We thank Kyle Porter for joining us. Go buy his
going
book.
Going above and beyond. Just
a normal sport.
It for him to have to do 3 hours with us here.
2 hours with us here. The people want it. The people are enjoying it. So we're going to keep, I don't know, doing it in this form and fashion. Kyle, we go to anormalsport.com is the URL.
Yep. A normal sport
promo code SGS. Yep. If you want to use that, you don't have to use that. You could just pay the $15. In my opinion,
that would be even better. Can I say something like genuine to end the podcast?
Sure.
Well, I said it. Sure. I said it at the beginning of the book, but and this is y'all's podcast has been an inspiration to me in a lot of ways, but it's also, I think, especially with Andy. And this is the part that I wrote in the book. I feel like I've learned just so much about golf over the last couple of years. This is not, I didn't grow up in the golf world like Andy did. And it's been this is how I fashioned the book, was irreverent, but also hopefully insightful. And, you know, just hopefully good analysis. And mine is more like the humanity and the human condition and all this stuff. Andy is obviously more like in-depth architecture and golf stuff, but I've learned so much about golf and about how to present something in both an irreverent but also meaningful way from this podcast and just from the work that you guys do. So I just wanted to say how much I appreciate that.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Very good. Anytime. I don't like when people
careful.
Talk about
I'd be
it.
Careful about how much you take from these two idiots, though. You know, me and Brendan.
So, all right, normal sport.
I don't know if you want to strive for some of our low points are pretty low.
This year review will be wrapped up before Christmas. I know we're dragging it out. I think that was the point, though. I mean, you want to talk about the QBE shootout? I don't want to talk about that. I think this is a lot more fun. We'll put it in one big file maybe over the end of the year. Thanks to Precision Pro. We'll be back with more year review. We'll get this done before Christmas. Talk to you soon. Thanks again to Kyle. Go to anormalsport.com.